right, boy. Had another beast feast for lunch. And I ate all the beasts. Again, man, what a blessing. You know what? I just want to say thank you again for allowing me to be here. I have been blessed from just being here. You know, those that know me, I am a pastor at heart. I love my church. No place I'd rather preach than Victory Baptist Church. However, I always, when I get the, you know, opportunity to go preach somewhere, I always leave with something. And already, I feel like my cup's full. Just watching God work here. And so thank you for allowing me to be here. And I'm excited about the rest of this week. Like I said, I think all these messages, they add to one another. And I think they're all vital. And so this morning, we dealt with evil, okay? What does that mean? Listen, if we're going to be able to commit, being fully committed, amen? And unto the Lord. Listen, we've got to get some things right in the way we think. We've got to understand what evil is. And that, listen, every time you say not so to God or you question God, what you're doing is putting a big roadblock in your way. Listen, and I'm just telling you, there are people that have left roadblocks in their life that have stayed baby Christians. They've never grown. They've never served. They never, ever got to the place where they reproduce themselves. They never got to the place where they bear fruit. They never got to the place where they're able to lead somebody else to Christ. They never got to, and listen, I remember I had a fellow in my church. He says, you know, Pastor, I've never led anybody to Christ. I said, well, go to junior camp. Come to VBS.
Yeah, amen.
You can't lead a kid to the Lord that wants to get saved. It ain't hard.
Amen.
Listen, we can come up with excuses all day why we don't do this and how we haven't done that. The truth of it is, you got to get in and you got to listen. You can't allow things to stay in the road.
Amen.
Those little not so lords, hey, I can't never do this. I don't see me ever being that. I told you know, and we've talked about that. I understand all that. I've thought all that. You know, but we've got to get that stuff out of the way. We've got to get to this fact. Listen, it's God. If you're saved today, you belong to Him.
Amen.
You've been bought with a price. You're not your own.
Amen.
But we're to glorify Him in our body. In other words, we're to do whatever He would have us to do. And the truth of it is, when we say not so, you know, man, what a mess. You'll be consumed. And man, we're in a mess. And so we talked about that. We're to abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of evil. That takes it to a whole nother level. Amen? That's where we've already stopped saying, not so, Lord. But we also are living in a way that no one would think we would say that. In other words, your life doesn't reflect that you have a problem doing God's will. Amen? You know, I remember one time my son, his one of his chores was he was to take the garbage to the road. And we lived out in the country, had 5 acres, and our driveway was a pretty good steep climb. And I am a watchman. I don't miss anything. It's not always a good thing. I am a detail. I mean, I'm a perfectionist. I got problems. Mostly with me. I mean, I am that way with me. I just am never pleased with the product. I always want it to be better. And so I see everything that's not. But so with my son, I remember coming home one day and I come in the driveway and there's garbage, like chunks of garbage all the way to the house. And I'm starting to think, oh, he is in trouble. But he's about halfway back down the driveway, and he don't see me. Or he's just in la-la land. Probably that. And I watch him. I just kind of put it in idle, and I'm just kind of slowly. And he is, like, having a time, man. He is happy. I mean, he really is. He's got joy. You can just see it on him. And, man, the Lord just, like, said, would you rather have the garbage to the road without one piece being dropped and have him kicking the dog and stomping around and huffing and puffing mad like he has done a time or two. Would you rather overlook a few pieces? Would you be willing to just pick up the stuff he missed? And that's exactly what I did that day. I just put my truck in park and I went behind him and I picked him up. And he was, "Oh, Dad, sorry, I'll get that." And I said, "It's all right, buddy. I love you." You know, the attitude of our heart. So again, abstaining from all appearance of evil. It was very evident that he wasn't in rebellion. Yeah, he dropped a few pieces of garbage. But he was being a blessing. Y'all with me? There was no question that he was happy about doing that day. And there's been days where he didn't feel like doing it. Y'all with me? And here's the thing. And he drops garbage those days too. But at the end of the day, I remember thinking, wow, you know what? How can I get on to him with that kind of an attitude today? What a blessing. Amen. No question in my mind. At first, I kind of checked him out to see, okay, has he got an attitude? Because if he does, he's fixing to get a real attitude. But he didn't have. And so, again, this abstaining from all appearance of evil. Again, yeah, you're in obedience. Yeah, you're done saying. How about this? You have abstained. Listen, that means enough. Literally, at the bottom line, the word abstain, let's just sum it down to this. Enough already.
Right.
Enough of that.
Yep.
No more.
Right.
Let the time pass suffice that we did that. Amen?
Yeah.
I've told him that enough times. Yeah. Peter got to that place. Remember when Jesus told him, you know, he's telling him, "I'm going to have to be crucified," all this and that. And Peter says, "I forbid it thee." And what did God say? "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know, and so... we've gotten past that. We're no longer saying, "Not so, Lord." Sometimes instead of saying "Amen," we're saying "Oh me." I get that. But again, so we're done saying that. We know that that's wrong. We acknowledge it. You've decided, "I'm not going to say that to God no more." Okay? But we're to abstain from all appearance of it. So now it takes it to another level. Okay, so... In my life, I told you this morning, probably my temper is probably the thing that has been the biggest. I mean, I'm telling you, I can go from 0 to 120 like in a second. Okay? That's just how I'm wired. I can rev up in anything, whether that be excited, whether it be sad. I mean, I'm just that way. I'm an emotional kind of guy. It's so anger. And so here's the thing, man. I remember my oldest daughter. She is very much like me, temperament-wise. And it just, oh, brother, when I'd see her get an attitude mad, it'd make me mad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that ain't right. That ain't right for her to have an attitude like that. And I remember one time I got onto her and she gave me this look like, "Oh, whatever. I can't even believe you're saying this to me." And I said, "You got something to say? Say it. Go ahead. Say it." She just, tears coming down her face. She's mad. And so I go walk into the house. Well, my wife's mad now. Because I come walking in and I go, "Can you believe her?" And my wife goes, "I can't believe somebody." And I'm like, "Oh, you want some too? I'm ready to roll right now. Let's go. Let's have the whole house. We'll demo this whole place." Well, I go into my bedroom and I'm thinking about that. And I'm like, "Man, what's the deal?" So I said, I tell my wife, I said, "Come here, I need to talk to you." I said, she looks at me like I am the biggest hypocrite she's ever seen. I said, I'm not wrathful anymore. Listen, I don't have wrath. You know what I mean? I don't kick holes in things and destroy the place. I don't demo the house. And there was a day when I'd do dumb stuff like that. Okay? I don't have that kind of anger. You know? I get mad, but I don't come to wrath. So anyway, I asked my wife. She goes, I said, honestly, I need your honest opinion. Seriously, I can take it. If it's a problem still, I need you to tell me. She goes, well, no. Well, maybe a little. She goes, no, you don't. You're not yelling, and you're not this and that. But she goes, but you like put off an energy that fills a 20-foot radius. Well, that pricked my heart. I remember getting on my knees and just say, Lord, I don't want to have a bad spirit. Hello, y'all with me? I don't want to stop with just getting the body in subjection. I want the spirit to be right. Y'all with me? I don't want to be carrying around where people are like, it's not a good thing for a preacher where people be going, maybe not today. How about this? My kids. I don't want my kids to go, I better not talk to him today. Right? I don't care how much pressure I'm under. I don't want that. I don't care what happened my day. I don't want that. I want to get my spirit in subjection, not just my flesh in subjection. The truth of it is, the flesh is never going to be fully in subjection until the spirit is. So that's what it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So it's funny, I raised pit bulls for years. And here's the deal. So I got this line of pit bulls that were like show dogs, show champion, grand champions, all of their, I mean, pedigree forever. And they're beautiful. They're amazing. And I'm a pit bull guy, man. Ever since I was a little kid, I saw one of them all muscled up. I was like, oh, I got to have one of those. You know? And so I raised them for years. And so here's the deal. I get this line of these show dogs. I got a pit bull male that's 90 pounds of nothing but cheetah, cat, muscle, athlete. The thing is insane. But he is the biggest insecure wimp dog I ever have had in my entire life. I am serious. I never even so much as laid a finger on that dog. But if I came home and was in an attitude, had a bad day, he'd go. I'm not, and I'd be going, come here, buddy. Come on. I'd get out on my knees. Come here. And he'd be like, nope. And he'd run for, and then I would get mad because he's running from me. Stupid dog. And I thought about all that. So, listen, abstaining for all appearance is more than just getting the physical, it's getting the spirit right. Amen? Listen, I've had two retired preachers, they're still preachers, they're in their 80s, 90s years old. Brother Mays died at 90, oh boy, he was 94, passed away last year. Brother T.J. Smith passed away a year before that. Both of them pastored for many, many years. And this is what both of them men said. They said this. They said, and they said this about my kids. They said, you know, Brother Plumlee, I wish I would have known what you've taught me about parenting when I was young. And he said this. We corrected our kids because we didn't want to be embarrassed. And we should have focused more on their heart, on their attitude. Well, here's the deal, folks. You're not going to be able to help anybody with their spirit until you get your own right.
That's right. Amen.
Right? But here's the deal. For years of my anger, this is what I would do. I'd think, well, I don't kick holes in cars and, you know, and punch holes in walls and rip doors off hinges. And y'all with me? I don't destroy stuff. Like I used to. And I grew up in a home like that. My dad was a tornado. Truth of it is, I got a double dose. My mother can be a tornado too when she wants. Now, I hope she ain't watching this. I'm in trouble. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got some real passionate people in my family. I mean, intense. And I got all of it. And so, again, I would compare myself with myself and say, "Wow, man, I've arrived." Because we like to do that, like, right? And it's okay to rejoice in victories. But here's the deal. God's never, we're never to a place where we're done. Y'all with me? We don't get still. We don't go still. We don't listen. None of us have arrived, and we're not going to until Jesus comes.
Amen.
And here's the thing. But here's the problem. We'll get to a place where we think, man, there was a great victory here. But you know, then we stop. Man, it just never stops. Because here's the deal. He's constantly molding us and making us, and wants to use us. And here's the thing. It might be for just one person. You have no idea. So back to my daughter. So I told you that day, she just looked at me like, she wouldn't say nothing to me. She knew better. Had respect for me that way. But in her eyes, she was just like, "You are such a hypocrite." So I got out on my knees and I said, "Lord, help me. Forgive me." She's just a reflection of me. She is me. Just in a female version. And better than me. But she did have a bit of a problem, especially as a pastor's kid. The kids here, if anybody's going to say anything bad about you or negative about you, it ain't going to be to you.
Right.
It'll be to your kids or to your wife. I mean, that's just how that goes. You know, unfortunately, that's how it goes. They hear it first. And sometimes people don't even mean anything by it. Sometimes they do. But man, my daughter is like me. "What would you say about my family?" That's my daughter. And I'm telling you, and if somebody hurt her by hurting her family, oh my soul, she is done with you for eternity. You have been stricken. You know what I'm saying? I'm done with you. I will never trust you. I don't want to be your friend. I don't like you. You're a phony. You're a fake. She's that way. There's no doubt. My whole family, they got a long line of people that are like that in my family. They'll give you the shirt off their back. But if you do them dirty, you're not going to get a second chance. And I saw that in her. And I was like, man, I don't want her to be bitter toward the church people. And there was just one particular old man that I battled with. I mean, he started doing this. "Ah, he can't preach." Just like that. He started doing it at the back of the church leaving, and then he started doing it in the pew. And, I mean, one day I finally lost my mind and went and had it out with him right in front of the whole church. And, yeah, it was bad. It was a bad day.
Yeah.
I just told him, "You don't like it, there's the door. You can leave. You don't have to put up with this. But you keep your mouth shut. You want to have it out with me private? We can have it out every day. But you don't be doing this." Anyway, long story short, that turned that guy around, and he came back and apologized. And then, if I had anybody preach but me, he was mad. He was just a bully, you know, right? Well, anyway, my daughter, I saw her look at him, man, and she just looked at him like, oh, with hate. Well, so I was dealing with her on that. So anyway, I got on my knees, and I just said, "Lord, I know she's a reflection of me. And if I'm going to help her, I've got to get it beyond just the physical." Y'all with me? I got to get it in my heart right. I got to abstain from all appearance of evil. Right? 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, brother, of me working on that in my own personal life, I went to apologize to my daughter. And I said, "Listen, Ashley, I need to apologize to you." And she's like, "Why do you need to apologize to me?" And I said, "Well, remember I got on to you?" And she goes, "Dad, no. Dad, I needed to hear that. Dad, thank you. I was wrong." 2 weeks of me working on my spirit, without her even knowing, totally flipped her heart. Here's what she saw. That I took my part serious. Y'all with me? Now, let's get back into this. So we're here so abstain means enough already, right? Enough. So we've got to take away our pass card. Can I just tell you? We've got to take it away. And here's the thing. We can do that. Well, I had a bad day. Well, hey, man, I had this and I had that. Man, and I'm tired and I didn't get no sleep and I didn't eat right and I had COVID and about died and I, you know, and this and that and my paycheck bounced. And, you know, we can go on and on and on with lists, right? And it ain't just ain't mom and dad. Hey, you kids have bad days too. You do. Hey, I can go to bed, man, having the most amazing day and go to bed sweet and peaceful and wake up like the devil in the morning. I'm just telling you. We got to take away our getaway, you know, our pass card, where we give ourselves an excuse for bad behavior, for a bad spirit. Abstain, enough already. So here we are in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Hey, that means this world's not our home. Amen. We're just a passing through. Abstain. There's that word again. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Enough already. We've got to stop yielding to the flesh. Amen. And hey, that goes right back to this thing of evil where you know what you say? Listen, no, not so, Lord. I'm not going to obey. I don't think so. I know it's wrong. Can't tell you how many times a preacher has to hear that when somebody does something stupid. Preacher, I knew it was wrong when I did it. Preacher, I knew it was wrong. Preacher, I knew it was wrong. Preacher, I knew it was wrong. Then why'd you do it? You pulled out that pass card, and you gave yourself a pass that day. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles. Again, abstain from all appearance of evil. Listen, having your conversation, that means your lifestyle. Amen. Not just what you say, but what you live. Amen. Right. Honest amongst the Gentiles. That means it's not an act. It ain't just being have in public. Here's the truth of it. You can be friendly and kind and cheesy all you want to in public, but if your heart's not right with God, they ain't buying. Honest amongst the Gentiles, okay, those, listen, we can say that those that are without, hey, those that are lost, even we can say that, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, these are those that mock you, that they may, by your good works, which they shall what? Behold, they see it, right? By watching you do right, even when you're being reviled. Even when they mock you. And by the way, those that are lost around you, they're waiting. They're watching. They glory in your mistake. You know why? Because here's the thing. When they're beholding your good works, it brings conviction in their life. Man, back to the anger thing. I had a time, one time I was working 7-12s out of town, and I was kind of blacksmith. Just no doubt about it. I mean, I didn't quit on God, but I was volunteering for all the overtime I could do because, you know what? I was going to pay my way through Bible college. Yeah, I was a genius. Now I've been out of church. I'm out of town on the road, and it had been like 6 months, man. I got to go home a few times during that, but, I mean, there was like a three-month stretch where I did not go home. I worked every day. And it was tired, you know, and everything, you know, spiritually getting weak. Now, I had one of my Christian brothers with me. He's like a... like my little brother in the Lord. I led him to the Lord. I discipled him. We'd have Bible studies and whatnot, but it ain't the same. It ain't the same as being in church. I don't care what anybody says. And, man, we're pushing to get this job done. We're behind. That's why we're working all this time. And I had to cut this fitting down, and we used these little skinny wheels to do that. And man... I had one fitting, and I can't mess this thing up. And I went to make this cut, and that blade just skipped all down that thing and barked that thing up. That's the last fitting I had. Well, I just threw a temper tantrum. And I grabbed that grinder by the cord and gave it about three good swings and shattered it on a table. The whole job site stopped. It was dead silence. Of all the things they miss, that wasn't one of them. And they're all like, I was instantly felt like an idiot. I literally went out, got on my knees in the job shack, asked God to forgive me, went to the foreman on the job. I was actually working for another guy. I was in there helping him. I said, man, I need all the apology. He goes, all perish. No, man. And here's what I realized. They were all kind of like, it made their day. Preacher cracked. Now, I wasn't a preacher then, but I mean, I was a Christian and they knew it. And they were all trying to butter me up and tell me, oh, man, brother, no problem. And, ooh, that's the worst thing you do. They're even doing that to me. And it made me feel worse. I thought, man, I have given them a total out for their bad behavior. Totally. And I was so humiliated and I felt so bad. And I apologized to the whole crew. And I said, listen, fellas, this is a big deal. And I'm buying a brand new grinder tonight to replace this one. I owe you guys an apology. I'm so sorry. And I told him, I said, I've already apologized to God. But I need to apologize to you guys. And you know what? That apology instantly restored credibility. Amen. Being honest. They don't expect us to be perfect, but they do expect us to be honest. Amen. The worst thing you can do when your fleshly lust gets the head of you is to pretend it never happened. So, it says again, having your conversation honest among the amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Can I just tell you, I believe the day of visitation comes in everybody's life. God's working in people's hearts even when you don't think He is. And you just never know when that day is going to come. And listen, here's the truth of it. Your testimony of your conversation, your lifestyle, how about this, your spirit being right with God, will come to the glory of God. Not your glory, not mine, y'all with me, but the glory of God. And he takes it on further. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Listen, that means we ought to obey the law. It's just simple. We had not to be the leaders in rebellion. We really had not to be. Amen. And I understand we've gone through a time, you know, with the COVIDs and all that thing, you know, and I understand we honor God or honor man and all that. And there's that big argument. But here's the thing. We're not talking about, I'm just talking about everyday life.
Right.
Having a submissive spirit, a humble spirit, not a proud, arrogant spirit, but a humble spirit. Amen. Submitting yourselves, that you're not beyond submitting. So this summer, I've worked for this company for years. I'm a subcontractor. But anyway, there's like 5-6 foremen that they run jobs during the summertime. And this year was kind of an odd year, couldn't get material. And so we had 5 foremen working for 1 foreman. And there's no real seniority. The way they do it, if you're set up as the foreman, everybody else is under you. It's not, well, I was a bit of foreman longer than you have, so when I come on your job, I still get to do it my way. It ain't how that works. So we had the foreman that fired 3 foremen. And he was right to do so. You know why? Because the other guys were murmuring and complaining and fighting against him the whole stinking way. So the owner calls me because he wants my input. And I said, he goes, were they doing this? I said, yeah. So he was justified in what he in letting him go. I said, yeah. I said, it's a bummer. Because all of them are capable, great hands. But here's the deal. He goes, well, you don't have any problem working for him. How come you don't have no problem? I said, because I've learned that when I'm not in charge, I'm okay with not being in charge. Y'all with me? It don't have to be my way. I'll do it. I'm there to help him. And I always say this at work. There's 10 ways to get that door framed in. Some guys start at the top. Some guys start at the bottom. Some guys start on the side. At the end of the day, does the door get put in? Right? I'll do it any way they want to do it. Submitting, the ability to do that. So here's another deal. It killed their production. Okay? So we have these cold storage. You just imagine it. You just got a warehouse with all these rooms, right? And they got a big refrigerator in it. That's basically what it is. And we got to hook up the pipes to the refrigerator. Okay? Me and the kid that works for me, we get 1.5 a day. Two of us. The other 4 foremen that were on the other side doing exactly the same room, took them 4 days to do one. You know why? Because they spent most of the time arguing about how to get it done. And were mad that they weren't, their way wasn't being. And so they looked for every excuse why not to do it. And not only did that, they go into the next room and infect the other two guys. Y'all with me? And I'm just talking about on the work jobs. So here's the thing. This inability to submit yourself. Can I just say this? If we are going to, listen, if we're going to be fully committed unto God, there is a submission. And literally, that's what committed means. When down here where it says that in verse number 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. It means, the word committed means submitted, surrendered. Listen, until you and I, we are willing to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God, number one, you're never going to be able to submit yourselves to men. Yeah, right. Hey, listen, a lack of submission is the problem in every marriage that goes bad. Hey, a lack of submission is what goes wrong in every family that goes haywire. Can I tell you, a lack of submission is what happens to every church that has a church split. A lack of submission is what happens to every time. Listen, God's people say, I'm not doing it your way. It's what keeps things from getting done in church. There's lots of people that will volunteer for ministries as long as they get to do it their way. Hello, y'all with me? Well, preacher, I'll do that if I can do it my way. Well, how about this? How about you do it half your way and half my way? Y'all with me? Well, if I can't do it my way, I'm not doing it. Preacher, I don't like the way I do it. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes I got a reason why. Hello, y'all with me? And I can't always tell you why. Hello, y'all with me? There may be some underlying thing that somebody, man, that's really going to hurt somebody or upset or just blow something up, and man, I can't tell you all that. You just need to trust me. I'm not asking you to not do it this way or that way because I don't think you're smart enough to do it. Y'all with me? Submitting. So that's whether it's law enforcement. So I told you, the men last night, I pastored 19 law enforcement officers. As a matter of fact, there was a police officer here last night. An older gentleman, and he came up and introduced himself, and he goes, hey, guess what I used to do? And I said, you were in law enforcement, huh? He goes, yeah, I was a cop. I didn't want to say cop because some of them take offense to that. Most of them don't, but at the end of the day, he goes, you thought it was funny. But listen, I would say this to guys. I've had guys over the years that say, I'd come to your church, but all the policemen go there. And I said, you know what? I used to feel like that. But here's what I noticed. When I quit breaking the law, I quit having problems with the cops. No, I'm serious. When I quit speeding, I quit getting speeding tickets. It's a crazy deal. I'm just saying. Now listen, I had such a reputation in the town I grew up in before I went to church. I hadn't been in that town in a year. I've been over here working in Seattle. I come sneaking into town about 10 o'clock at night, headed to my parents' house. Get pulled over a block from my parents' house. Police officer comes up. Ain't seen you in a while. I got two questions for you. Where are you going? When are you leaving? Hunted, man. They hunted me. Hated me. I'm not even kidding you. Now, see here, today I know why. I told you I got saved when I was a little kid. And I'd forgot that. And God sicked them on me. You say, God did that? No, no, no. God was making it hard for me to do bad. I am so thankful today. I can't even tell you. I'm just telling you, at 21 years old, the reason God got a hold of my heart is because I knew I was out of grace in that area. I knew it was coming in, and I wasn't going to keep being able to outsmart it and all the things that I thought I was doing. Y'all with me? It was just crashing in, and I knew that this, my days were numbered. I love those guys now. And believe it or not, they don't just sit around and eat donuts and give old ladies tickets. Truth of the matter is, they go deal with some of the most horrific things that give you nightmares all night long. I'm just telling you, I've been there with them. And I had no idea. But anyway, that's one of the reasons God puts the cops out on the streets. They're ministers of righteousness. Now, I know some of them need to get saved. All of them need to get saved. But I know there's a bad apple here and there, but that's not the rule. Submitting yourselves to every ordinance. Obey the law. Amen? Amen. Listen, obey the law. Amen. Your flesh don't like to obey the law. My foot likes to go 120 miles an hour all the time. Amen. Serious. I could go. I got a Chrysler 300 that wants to run at 95. Yeah. Telling you, man. It does. But it's not good. Law enforcement frown on that. Governors. All those that are in positions of authority. Law type of thing. That kind of thing. Verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Listen, they will quit making fun of you. They will quit mocking you. But they got to see you do good. And it may take a while. My father-in-law got saved 10 years after Trudy and I started going to church. My father-in-law did not like me. I told you we got married really young. My wife is the apple of her daddy's eye. And he is a real cowboy, professional rodeo cowboy, roper, team roper. All of her family are ranchers. Guess what I wasn't? You know, coming there with my long flowing mullet. He was not impressed. Yeah, no one needs to see that. Amen. I wanted to be a WWF wrestler back when I was a kid. That's the look I was going for. Anyway, my father-in-law did not like me. When I started going to church, he knew I was a knucklehead. And so get this. God used a preacher friend of mine who my father-in-law could not stand. He would not go to the church to listen to the guy preach. He thought he was the most arrogant, obnoxious preacher he'd ever met. And that preacher friend of mine calls me and he says, "Hey, brother, are you prayed up?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. What am I supposed to be prayed up about?" He goes, "I'm in your father-in-law's driveway." I said, "I got to go." And I seriously was like, "Lord, no. He's going to push my father-in-law over the edge. He ain't never come to church nowhere." Because he was really kind of a strong personality kind of guy, you know. And my father-in-law is definitely not that guy. You don't like to be pushed at all. And God was working. So I prayed and then I forgot about it. About 2 hours later, he calls me and says, "Hey, you need to have your wife call her daddy." And I'm like, "Are you serious?" He goes, "Just have her call her dad." That's all I told her. I said, "You need to call your dad." She goes, "What's going on? Is he okay?" I said, "I think it's all good. Just call your dad." She calls her dad. She goes, "Hey, Dad, what's going on?" "Well, your preacher friend of yours just left the house." She goes, "Oh, yeah? Who?" She was like terrified he was going to go visit her. I mean, she knew her dad. We wouldn't have never asked him to go visit my father-in-law. Exactly. And when he said that, she was like sick. And he goes, "What?" She goes, "Well, how'd that go?" And he goes, "Well, I got saved today, honey." She didn't have to ask him none of that. He told her. And I'm just telling you, if you know my father-in-law, he's just a real private, he's just an old-fashioned cowboy guy that would rather laugh than talk about anything serious and make jokes, right? Well, anyway, so I had to call my friend. And I said, "Hey, you got to tell me what happened." Yeah. And he goes, "You know, I can tell right away your father-in-law ain't fond of me." And I said, "No, he can't stand you." He goes, "You know, so here's what I did. I just told him, I said, hey, you know, I said, I know your son-in-law, and I've heard enough of his story that I know that you, it's probably fair to say you didn't care for him much when." And my father-in-law chuckled, and he goes, "That's fair." And he goes, "Well, I know him now. And I have a really hard, the guy I know, I can't even see being that guy." He goes, "Can you help me with that?" And he goes, "You know, when they first started going to church, I thought, oh, he got in trouble. And he's trying to make up. It won't last. It won't last. She'll forgive him. And he'll go right back to doing what he's always done, being an idiot." He said, he goes, "But I got to tell you, I've been watching those kids for 10 years. And he goes, they live it. And so my friend says, "So what do you think happened? You think your son-in-law just grew up? You think, what do you think happened there? You think he could have done that by himself?" And he goes, my father-in-law got tears in his eyes. And he says, "No, what's happened to them is not anything that they could have done alone." He goes, "It's God."
Yes.
And so my friend says, "Well, what about you?" And he goes, "Yeah, I need that."
Wow.
And my father-in-law got saved. Let me tell you something. Kids, listen to me. My children, every night during our prayer time, would pray for their grandpa to get saved. And they would cry and beg God to save him. And I personally believe that God heard my kids' prayers. And he honored that prayer. So here's what I'm saying to you. We've got to abstain. Enough already. Giving ourselves a pass to be bad. Amen? We've got to submit ourselves to God, not just when we feel good. Amen? Not just when we feel good. Not just when we feel like it. Amen? Not just in this area, be totally committed. God, you can have all of it. I give all of it to you. I'm going to do everything exactly your way in this area of my life, and in this area of my life, and this area of my life. But over here, amen? If I feel like it. If I'm having a good day, If I'm having a strong day, if I'm having a blessed day, no, it needs to be every day. Because here's the thing. They see the bad days. And those one or two bad days, or how about this, just a bad spirit. Could be days of bad spirit. Listen, we had not to be as miserable as the world. Amen. Well, you're grumbling and griping and moaning and complaining and you're grumpy about everything and everything stinks. You don't like this, and you don't like that, and this ain't fair, and that ain't fair, and I don't feel like it, and I don't want to, and I'm taking my football, and I'm going home. You don't play it my way, I'm not doing it. Amen? I'm not submitting, I'm not submitting. It's either you all submit to my way, or it's the highway. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. You know what that means? It just means be polite. Be polite. Amen. Love the brotherhood. Love your brethren. Amen. Love people. You love people, they'll love you. I tell you, my dad, before he got saved, well, even still, he's like hugging this pulpit. He ain't comfortable with it. You know why? Man never got hugged a day in his life. His daddy was a raging alcoholic that beat the fire out of him. He was the only boy, and his daddy was going to make him tough. He'd literally hide out in the weeds until his dad passed out before he'd even come home when he's a little boy. My aunts weep just talking about how abusive it. And then he wasn't drunk, he was singing in church. He was all in church, or he was all bad. There was no in between. And that's what my dad grew up in, and I didn't know. My dad never talked about his childhood until after he got saved. And then God gave him the ability to pick out the good stuff. But so I went to a men's retreat, and a man stood up. And he goes, man, I just out of blue. He says, man, I want to encourage any of you, if you've got a bad relationship with your dad, you need to just go get it right. Don't wait. And this guy just bellows. He starts weeping because he goes, that's where I was at with my dad. And God put it in my heart I needed to go to apologize. My dad was in the hospital and he died before I got there. Man, it shook me up. And this is what connected with me. He says, I've never heard my dad tell me he loved me one time in my life. Mine too. Yet he would tell my brother. He'd hug my brother. It's like my dad compartmentalized it. It was like I was the rough, tough boy that he wanted to be that way, and he didn't want the other one to be that at all. And unfortunately, it made me pick on my brother. I mean, I was jealous of my brother half the time. And he was jealous of me. It was just, you know, kid stuff, right? And I remember I went down from that men's retreat. I couldn't get home quick enough. I just wanted to go tell my dad I loved him. And here's the thing, that's hard, because every time I talked to my dad about something serious, I'd start crying, and he hated it, and I hated it. I just couldn't. I'd get a lump in my throat. I don't know why. Just weird. I walk into the house, and I go, Dad, stand up. I'm bawling. He goes, Son, what's wrong? Son, talk to me. Well, I couldn't hardly talk. I had a lump in my throat. And I said, it's okay. It's nothing bad. And he goes, are the kids okay? Talk to me, son. He thought my kids were dead. I said, Dad, it's okay. Dad, I just wanted to tell you I love you and ask you to forgive me for being such a punk of a son. He goes, son. It's okay. And I said, well, come here. I'm going to give you a hug and get used to it. Oh, son, we don't need to do that. Seriously, that's what he said. Son, I know you love me. I said, well, come here. And, you know, I'm a lot bigger than my dad. I hugged him up. And he was like, okay, yeah. And I said, Dad, I'm going to do it. I said, I'm never leaving you. I'm never leaving you again without hugging you until you, in case it's the last time I see you. I said, got to make up for lost time. And I said, I know it ain't comfortable for you, but get used to it. Well, here's the deal. That's been 25 years. He still is like hugging this. It's still a, okay. But he likes it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. He likes it. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject unto your own masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Can I tell you, that's a whole nother level we ain't got time to get into tonight. Amen? At the end of the day, it comes down to this. We've got to submit ourselves and be humble, even when we don't feel like it.
Right.
And we've got to stop using that as an excuse
right. Yeah. To
allow ourselves to be bad. Amen?
Yeah.
Hey, I look in this room tonight, most of you... Hey, I would hope that most of you have never been entangled in drugs and those kinds of things. But this is what often happens. We have a bad day. I'm just going to tell you, 30 years later, when I'm tempted most to do, go back to the old life, and it happens from time to time, not real often. It's when I've been hammered. And I'm tired. And I'm tired. Or I haven't been eating good. Remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil?
Yes.
He starved him.
Yes.
He was tired physically.
Yes.
Weak physically. I'm just telling you. I've just learned this, man. I got to go get something to eat. Y'all with me? I remember when I first quit drinking alcohol. I would literally go drink like a gallon of water every time I thought about it. I'd just gorge myself with something else. Seriously. I'd replace it with something, you know what I mean? I'd run to something else. We've got to stop pulling out that old pass card.
Right. Yes. Yes. Come on.
For bad behavior.
Right.
We have to abstain from all lust of the flesh.
Amen.
From all appearance of evil. All of it. Enough. Enough. Do not give yourself license. It's not an option. You know, I remember Trudy and I came to this place when we were young kids. Of course, we got married at 17. Wasn't a good deal. And we weren't in church. There was a lot of, you're so close to divorce. You know, I'm about to divorce you. There was a lot of that nonsense talk back then. You know what we had to, when God entered into the picture? It still was happening a little bit once in a while. And here's what we did. We got down on our knees and we agreed. Those words would never be allowed ever again, no matter what. Y'all with me? Those are not even allowed. No matter how upset we are with each other. And trust me, I can make her upset. Hey, we are total opposites. My wife calculates everything 500 years down the road. I don't think past right this second. No, God does that. It takes opposites. Listen, you've got to stop. You have to abstain. You've got to say tonight, enough. Amen? Kids, listen to me. Listen to me. You got to say this. I'm gonna do what my folks say. I'm going to do what God says, even if I don't feel like it.
Wow.
Amen?
Yeah.
Even if my parents upset me, even if my brothers or sisters are not being nice to me, I'm just not going to allow myself to do that.
Right.
Amen? I'm going to do right. Hey, and if you're a little older, guess why? The younger ones are watching you. My little brother was 3 years younger than me. I was his hero. I still am. He wants to be just like me still. And there were a lot of times I wasn't very good to him when we were kids, and I've apologized. And I'm my little brother's best friend. Watching you. Amen. Be committed. Make a commitment tonight. Listen, you know where those areas are in your life. I don't. Where those areas where you unravel. Commit it to God. Commit it to God. Say, Lord, I'm not giving myself that out no more. I'm not giving myself that past no more. And ask Him to forgive you.